microbe. We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. How about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making...
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Aloha.
You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM with hosts myself, Julia Saunders, and the lovely Caroline McGillivray.
Thank you. And if you may be a future podcast listener, you can listen live from New Zealand at 5 o'clock on a Thursday. But however you decide to spend this hour with us, we're glad to have you. So please call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Yes, and I just wanted to, at the top of the hour, have a bit of a caveat about last week's show. We got some emails back about that, and I think it did bring up some issues for people. Maybe the show was found to be a little bit confusing at times. It's a very broad topic, BDSM, and so we're going to be talking a little bit more about that tonight from a different kind of viewpoint. But at the end of the show, we'll be talking about some of the aftercare and the things that we promised that we'd get to that we didn't get to last week. But in the course of the hour, Caroline and I were talking about research-based connections between history of abuse and BDSM preferences and practices. And we were talking about BDSM in different sort of complexities of the lifestyle and practice, but it is a huge subject, and it's difficult to get much covered in the short time that we have here every Wednesday. So you can always find out more information about BDSM if you're interested in learning about it. There's many sites, of course, online. We do have some recommended sites on juiceboxradio.com. You can go to the resources page and have a look and do some of your own research. If you have questions and concerns about BDSM, what it means, and how you can put it into your life in a healthy way. But yes, we did sort of have a few omissions just because, of course, we were talking about relational violence and connections to different things about BDSM and where you might be drawing a line or crossing a line. And so the show had a little bit of dichotomy throughout it. So hopefully that helps clear things up a little bit, but we're glad you listened, listeners, and thank you for writing in. And last week we were discussing it in a more of a heavier sense. So a spin-off from the heavier side of BDSM this week, we're going to be bringing the dominance and the submission side of BDSM into your 2009 Valentine's Day activities. Because if you do use basically some BDSM basics, I think you can add flavors of all flavors of vanilla and all flavors of chocolate and everything in between into your playtime. So we're going to have a little bit more of the sexy talk, of the playful talk, in hopes that you might just try to take the plunge this Valentine's Day and see how BDSM might fit into your life.
There's a lot of healthy things we can learn from BDSM practitioners, but sometimes, you know, Julia, I think that Valentine's Day was created by a bunch of sadists. I really do. For anybody who's single.
For single people, for sure.
Yeah.
Like it feels very sadistic. It's like, can we get this over with? It's worse than Christmas. Yes. Well, you know, I think that BDSM, there may be a cure to bed death to be found in BDSM practitioners, but at the very least, it's going to spice up your sex life. So why not use a day or an excuse like Valentine's Day to bring this into your bedroom? I mean, let's talk about how some of the people maybe on the more vanilla side of the sexual repertoire of the world, how do they do this?
Well, it starts off with communication. Because let's face it, Julia, if we don't know what we want, how are you supposed to ask for it? How are you
exactly
supposed to explore that with a partner?
Exactly.
So I recommend that people read as much as they can, talk as much as they can, and watch movies. And sometimes when I tell people about this kind of stuff, they're like, well, Carolyn, I'm not really into the whole pornography. To which I say, it doesn't have to be pornography. You can watch classics, and you can learn a lot. To me, all-time classic is 9.5 Weeks, which I think touches on a lot of those things.
Huh. And 9.5 Weeks. There's an oldie.
It is, but
now,
Mickey
Rourke.
Now,
who's the Mickey Rourke? I'm like, wait a minute. Mickey Rourke is up for nominated for Best Actor in The Wrestler.
That's right.
What the hell happened to him?
I don't know.
He used to be really sexy.
Well,
in
he's
nine
had
and
too
weeks.
Much plastic surgery.
A little bit too much drinking, smoking, and tanning.
And punching in the face.
Anyway, Mickey Rourke used to be super hot. I remember at 9.5 Weeks. That was a very advanced show. And there was a lot of BDSM practice in that movie. So if you haven't quite understood what BDSM is, this is one of the ways. So let's talk about how they put 9.5 Weeks of BDSM together, because I think that's a perfect example.
I think it's a really good way. It starts with communication. So with that, we need to start off with perhaps blindfolds. There's all sorts of different things in that movie, and one of them is blindfolds in terms of some of the stuff they start with. So, again, bondage. So, basically, the title of the film, which I guess I should probably go over that, hey, just in case anybody isn't familiar with it, which it's about the duration of, the title of it, 9.5 Weeks, is about the duration of a relationship between the Wall Street investor John Gray, who of course is played by the wonderful Mickey Rourke, and the divorced Soho Art Gallery employee Elizabeth McGraw, who is Kim Basinger.
Basinger, yeah.
She's very beautiful, and yes, she's actually really cool, but we won't go into that right now.
So they meet in New York City, and it kind of leads to a sometimes violent sex life, from what I can remember.
Very passionate.
Passionate and with a bit of the violence. So this might be the domination that we're going to be talking about.
Exactly.
It can be sexy.
Yes, and the submission.
If it's consensual.
Exactly.
Right.
Consensual is the key word, which
and
comes right back to communication.
Right.
Which they try a variety of different and diverse sexual acts and erotic acts. And one of my favorites is when John teases her body with ice while she's blindfolded. It takes place in the kitchen, which I don't think I need to tell our Juice Box listeners this, but listeners, if you're out there, sex does not need to be in the bed necessarily. It can be in the kitchen. Explore. Have fun. It could start with something like that if it's that vanilla or you're suffering from bed death. Start with sex in the kitchen, but you can start it even more fun with having that blindfold. Just like John blindfolds Elizabeth and he feeds her things like the ice cubes. He plays with the textures. He just plays with the flavors. Things like hot sauce where she flinches and she's like, ah, and she makes that little scream sound. It can be really hot and erotic. You can also add things, if you want to pull this up to modern day, to things like lube. Like things like healthy-tasting yummy lubes. Things like
right.
strawberry-flavored.
If you are stuck in the bedroom for some reason because perhaps you're trying to hide from the children or something, then
taken.
Yes, you could, you know, the ice cream can be very sticky. Get a little plastic sheet. Something that doesn't absorb too much or can be washed easily. Anyway, this is all fabulous ideas. You can get them off the internet for sure. But I'd say doing something like that, blindfolding your lover, it's a great way to present a cake, for example. Right?
There's a lot of things you can do with that icing.
That's right, but be careful. Don't put the icing in your anus. No icing in the vagina. and you have to be careful what you put inside of your body cavities, for sure.
You definitely do. You also have to make sure you know what your lover's allergic to. So say they're allergic yes. to something like, I don't know, strawberries or...
chocolate.
Cucumber.
Or nuts, right?
Yes, nuts is a big one.
Anyway, just do know your lover and what they're allergic to before you present this cake to them.
And if not, make sure you have your Benadryl or whatever type of anti-allergic medication right there.
Hey, you know what? This is BDSM basics and applied at the Valentine's Day, and we're not liable for your choices.
Yes.
Just like we weren't last week either. If you choose to do something and follow what we're talking about, that's up to you. All right, so...
One of the other things you can do, Julie and I were talking, you can try out cocoa powder on the nipples.
Yes, this was Caroline's brilliant idea. We could maybe mix up a little bit of icing sugar and cocoa
yes.
powder together.
I was just thinking
and do
that.
A little dusting and using little feathers or things
mm-hmm.
and lick that off the body if you don't feel like getting mucky with the cake.
I think that could be pretty hot. And be careful, it does stain your mattress.
Again, okay, I was going to say something totally out of, something very distasteful. So let's move on. Help me out, Caroline, saying disgusting things.
In terms of distasteful, let's move on to something pleasurable.
Okay.
Let's talk about gender role playing.
Yes, I love it.
Well, I think it's a really powerful thing, mm-hmm. dressing up like a member of the opposite sex. Again, I'm going back
to... If you can
to,
do it sexy as a guy. If a guy can dress up like a woman sexily, like I think that's...
It can
that's
be.
A challenge.
It is a challenge.
For a woman to dress like a man, that's always hot.
It could be very hot, which we saw that, like in Young People Fucking, which was a great movie that we saw earlier last
uh-huh,
year,
yes.
which is quite nice. But in 9.5 weeks, John and Elizabeth go to a gentleman's club, and Elizabeth dresses up in a tux, complete with the mustache and everything,
very
and
nice,
throws all her blonde
nice.
Hair
uh-huh.
up in a hat. Then they get into a fight with men on the street, and then they run into an alleyway where Elizabeth takes off her tuxedo and gets fucked from behind with her partner in a rainy brick alley stairway.
And wasn't this anal sex? That
yes.
was yes.
In
so,
the book it is. In the movie, it doesn't look quite that way.
Okay, so this gender-bending, gender role-playing is, again, about the submission, domination, control, and power play that goes on that makes... sex pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to put it in the BDSM world. It's really what happens, I think, in sexuality, unless you're doing a tantric thing. But even that...
There are rules.
Even that, there's certain behaviors and rules that you play out with each other. So I think with this gender bending, I think it provides this awesome landscape of opportunities for people to explore maybe the parts of themselves that they never show their lovers, that their lovers have never seen in other persons or have experienced. And... really, if you want to spice up your sex life, that's one of the ways to do it. Because even if you're not getting super aroused by, say, your partner dressing up like a woman and, you know, beating off with some silk panties or something, seeing them aroused, highly aroused, I think that is going to it's going to turn you on. That's the thing when you see your partner being aroused. So I say a plethora of opportunities in the gender bending.
And just as a side note, you can buy used panties in dispensers in Japan, apparently.
With the crusty clitty litter?
Totally. Crusty clitter litter, all the better to lick off and rub it around yourself. How hot and sexy is that?
And not very safe. Okay, anyway.
No.
All right.
But the other thing I liked about the sex in the alley is it's exhibition sex.
Right. Well, I think there's definitely the heightened adrenaline and... you know, sex in the alley for sure. But, you know, there's warnings for sex in public places. This is up to you people. Double check the rules where you are, because if you get arrested and you do what we tell you to do on Juicebox, we're not held liable for your choices. I want you to know this ahead of time.
Definitely. But in the meantime, have a lot of fun. Today I was on Twitter and I asked a whole bunch of people what your favorite places to have outdoor sex are. So some of the things we heard are in the alley, which
I've heard of a friend being arrested for doing this, so be careful.
But also be careful that you don't get step on a needle or stabbed by somebody. You never know.
Yeah.
So be aware of your surroundings and other people in the car.
In the car, but careful not getting impaled by that gear shift.
Or getting shot by some serial killer who happens to be lurking in the park.
Oh, God. Okay, wait a minute. This is like danger, danger show.
Totally. In the car driving?
No, I don't recommend that.
Well, it's better than doing it in the garage where you might end up dying asphyxiated through carbon monoxide.
I have had some driving car sex. Never mind.
It can be very fun. Usually tends to be oral sex, actually, in the car.
Yes, I did it this spring. Anyway, okay.
In the kitchen counter.
I did recommend. It was fun, actually.
Kitchen counter. But if you're doing it at a friend's place, that can obviously follow up after the blindfold. Just make sure if you're using it at a friend's place or a parent's, please, please, please clean up afterwards.
Yes. And if you are giving oral sex in the car and the ejaculate goes up your nose because you're... You're trying to, you know, it's just a difficult thing.
It hurts a lot, I
believe. It hurts a lot if you have ejaculate coming out of your nose. Just a warning. It's hard on the tissues. All right. Again.
A shower.
Shower. Exhibitions. Now, this is all for Valentine's Day. This is all to get you inspired to spice up your sex life.
And a public pool.
Public pool.
And that is a shower at the public pool.
In the hot tub at a community center? That's just gross.
It happens all the time at the aquatic center.
Okay, well, if you're an exhibitionist or a voyeur, this is the place to go, obviously.
This is why I don't go in the hot tub.
In the sauna. That would be hot, too. I'd like to do it in a sauna, but there's not many saunas to do it in.
There's a steam room as well, but sometimes that's hard, wet steam.
I liked your idea about doing it against a tree while hiking, Caroline. Was this one of your Twitter friends that recommended this?
It was. Although, be careful with bears and check in case there's any been sightings.
In a nightclub, I have seen people having sex in a nightclub. It is hot, and I do turn away, even though I'd like to watch. But the BDSM parties and scenes, I'm sure there's all kinds of things going on at all times. So, enjoy. In the bathroom? Yeah. How many people have sex in stalls of bathrooms? Like, it happens way too much.
It does. And I think for some people it's really exciting, but one that I forgot to add on there is the family bathroom on the ferry, because it's a little bit bigger and you have a change table to lean over.
Okay, this is all in poor taste, people.
No, actually, I've heard people do this.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, at the table at a restaurant, so this is with or without the cloth, tablecloth. Because people from all over the restaurant can see what you're doing. The farther away from your table they are, the more they can see what you're doing.
I disagree. If you're sitting on their lap and you're facing away from them in reverse
cowgirl. What were you
cowgirl,
sitting on someone's lap in a restaurant for?
It wasn't me.
I'm not saying it was you. I'm saying, what is a person who is trying to spice up their Valentine's Day going to do on the lap of their partner looking like they have hiccups? Like,
what? It could just be kinkle muscles clenching and unclenching.
Oh, really?
So you just have to work on those kinkle exercises. Keep your breath practice, quote unquote, Tanya Diamond. Make sure you do that every day and clench at the top of that inhalation.
Tanya gets so many plugs. She should be giving us a free workshop soon. So I think, you know, the health and safety of these options, again, liable for your own choices, nothing to do with us. But go and enjoy exhibition sex for sure. Definitely a hot way to do a Valentine thing. Now, whether it's BDSM, I don't think it really quite goes in that category. But it's a hot thing. It's a nice spice up your sex life tip.
It's a very
from
nice thing.
9.5 weeks inspired. All right.
Totally 9.5 weeks. Oh, and on that note, whenever you do exhibition sex, skirts are really easy to move in case you get caught, so you need to run. So it's important and not your fast heels. Striptease. Kim Basinger in that movie was that iconic It was just absolutely amazing, like, striptease to
leave your hat on
by Joe Cocker. So that was pretty hot. I love the name Joe Cocker. It's pretty hot. But make sure you pick out your partner's favorite song. And if you need help with this, you can come see me personally, because I actually do teach classes. So there's my plug for myself and
Excellent.
My classes,
yes.
my striptease classes. But you want to pick something sexy that you feel good in, whether it be lingerie or whether it be his hockey jersey that says, like, bunny and number 69 on the back. You know, whatever it is that makes you feel good, as long as you feel confident, it's great. So number one, you want to make eye contact and forget about the steps, because he doesn't know what you're put together. He's not sitting there with a pad of paper going, you missed a hip turn there, you know. Like, people don't do that. They just want you to feel beautiful and confident and have a really awesome time doing it. Making sure you're breathing and smiling and really take your time, because slow equals sexy, and you want to make nice big hip movements, because striptease is all about the tease. So make sure you have a couple songs that you can take your time with it. And you might want to have some music to have sex to in the background. So as the playlist continues, so do you.
I like this. So where can people find you with your little striptease? Things,
well,
honey.
If they look at
your courses.
Well, I'm at iDance, usually Friday nights, which right now we're working on a French maid routine.
Oh.
So you do need to bring your feather duster. There's no nudity, but you do.
So
get
how do we get in touch with you around iDance and your striptease? What are they? Afterglow and things?
Afterglow is when you feel like it's my stretch class that is pretty intense. So afterwards, you feel the way you feel after an orgasm.
Oh, fabulous.
And I thought that's a great way to start Sunday morning.
It's a Sunday morning. Okay. And you got Friday nights?
I got Friday nights as well, where you can make yourself feel sexy and hot.
And that's a striptease show?
It's a striptease class.
Class, okay.
You will get a really good workout, and you will feel hot and learn how to take off all your clothes.
These
so
are
then
great.
That way, you can take it home. It's good to practice at home.
Now, these are lap dance workshops that you give as well?
I do, and I can do private lap dance classes.
Okay, classes. Excellent. Well, I think that sounds like a really good Valentine's treat to give your partner is a class with Caroline. You know, I mean, maybe she wants to learn. Maybe she might get insulted. But again, the BDSM might have to come into it, where you tie her up, then you give her this thing and tell her she has to take this class.
Well, actually, it could go the other way, too, because if he gets too grabby and you need to slap his hands away, because in a lap dance, they're not supposed to be touching you.
That's right.
So you may need to tie him up.
You get to teach. Can you teach some BDSM in your classes, honey, to help these women deal with these animalistic men that keep groping them?
Well, you had to cup the hand C-shape for Caroline and make it feel really sweet and good.
What, you mean a spank with a C-shape
hand? Yes, because you get a nice slap.
All right, now we have a lot more that we want to talk about with this very hot topic. I think we should give them a few more tasters, honey.
I think
we should do a little more about 9.5 weeks, because there's exploration. What? What are you pointing at me for?
Oh, I was just going to add, I wanted to say one more thing. If you wanted to do that, it's hot. There's other ways that you can take the striptease. You could take them to Brandy's or a strip club and actually buy them a lap dance, or get them to buy you a lap dance. And sometimes that's a super hot way just to kind of get into it and feel really good. So you can sit there holding hands. And usually if you go and get a lap dance, they tend to focus on the female anyway, which gets both people usually fairly hot. It's a pretty sexy thing to do.
I think another really sexy thing to do is to go toy shopping with each other. I actually think that's a really, really hot way to do some major communicating, but also it's been so long for me, I can't even remember the word. Foreplay. Foreplay. So you go through the store and you, like, you know, learn about the different toys. There's some really fabulous stores in Vancouver. The Art of Loving Gallery is really well informed and well educated there. They've got a good selection.
Alaska from Sex Education with
Alaska
a twist.
From Sex Ed with a twist. We have Women's Wear is also good, although they're a little more cold, but certainly well-informed and a great selection of stuff there. But I think, you know, if you host a toy party, or you go shopping together, and also important, because sometimes I think especially men, they get a little bit intimidated by all these phallic things around, reassure your partner that you love them, that you love the sex that you have with them, and the toy is not a replacement for them. It's part of the fun and the exploration of arousal and desire and hotness. What's going on, sweetie? Oh, we're doing that. Okay.
And it enhances.
Yeah. And so there's so many great and exciting opportunities and ways for you to spice up your sex life and to use BDSM in your vanilla world. And I think Valentine's Day is a really good place to start.
I think so.
Doing
too.
That.
And one thing I do want to point out is sometimes vanilla can be really sweet too.
I like vanilla. I am a vanilla girl. We are going to be talking in the second half of the show about how to keep this BDSM exploration safe, sane, and consensual. We're going to be talking about practicing safely and aftercare and respecting what your partner wants and stuff. But we're also going to be getting a male perspective on, if we have time, a male perspective on a few of the rules of engagement when it comes to threesomes. Just because a lot of people start thinking, spice the sex up, you know, I think I'm going to bring another partner into this. So not always the way, but we just figure as a good overall exchange of information to our listeners about some ideas for Valentine's Day coming up, we thought we would just sort of try to reach as many little ideas as we could.
I think so, too.
And you can find out more by doing your research.
And you can Twitter us if you want at Juicebox Radio.
Right. So we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to be talking about the tools that we can borrow from the BDSM community, and we're going to be doing more on 9.5 weeks and so much more. I already told you all that stuff, didn't I?
You did.
You can go.
One thing that's really cool is the fact that we are going to be talking about how to use tools from BDSM to make your sex life not only spice it up, but possibly make it healthier.
Right. Which is one of the best things about BDSM, is that you can communicate so well when you have these kind of...
Of course.
Right.
And so. If you, on that note of communication, we are taking calls at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
And we'll be back.
I had to play the song.
Leave your hat on. Live Nation presents Lamb of God, playing on April 8th with special guests Children of Bodom, As I Lay Dying, God Forbid, and Municipal Waste at the new UBC Thunderbird Arena. Tickets are on sale at LiveNation.com, Scrape Records, and all Ticketmaster outlets. Charge online or by phone at 604-280-4444.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box.
Oh, I love being in the box. It's so juicy.
If you're joining us right now, you probably heard that you can leave the light on.
By Joe Cocker.
But you know what? I think you can leave the light on. And for some people, having sex with the lights on, that's enough of a BDSM situation.
That is true.
So, yeah.
Although you have to if you're going to be practicing Tantra as well.
Yes.
Because you need
candlelights at least. Candlelights at least. Since we have been chatting about using movies as a tool for how to communicate about sex life, I think it's a good time to talk about the bad parts of the movie as well. That's not enough.
Actually,
it's your stuff, honey. The 9.5 week stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's. There were a lot of things about it when it first was released. They actually, the studio edited a lot of it out because they were deemed psychologically damaging.
Wow.
And the famous scene cut allegedly involved John and Elizabeth in a packed overdose on sleeping pills together.
Wow.
Only to find out that John replaced the pills with placebos. And the scene is not reflected in the novella, but can be found in the final draft of the script. And Adrian Lin promised repeatedly.
Who's that?
Adrian Lin? Oh, yeah. So he is the director who actually, I believe, did Fatal Attraction as well. So, and he promised to release the director's version of the movie, which would include many of the cut scenes. And I do believe it actually has surfaced. And I heard a scream.
I heard a young child making a noise.
So did I. One of the other interesting things about the movie itself was that it really detailed a sexual downward spiral because John would keep pushing Elizabeth's boundaries towards her eventual emotional breakdown. He often manipulates her into getting what he wants during sex and sometimes abusing her, knowing that she can't resist it.
So, you know, around exploration of boundaries and negotiating power and control in relationships like BDSM, you have to also be very, you know, communicative and describe your boundaries, have these very clear agreements, basically, and negotiations. So, but, you know, it's like power, control, and negotiation in relationships and abusive power in relationships happens way too often, and we talked a lot about that in our show last week. So, again, if you're going to be doing things like pushing sexual boundaries, like with BDSM practices or whatever, you have to make sure that you are incredibly communicative about it, about everything. So, yeah, so 9.5 weeks, I guess, this is sort of a depiction of it going the wrong way without the proper negotiation and consent.
Do you want me to add a tidbit or not?
Go ahead.
In regards to the actual movie, there was a lot of almost psychological violence, actually, in some weird ways, off scene, because many of the erotic scenes were shot featuring a body double for Basinger. And Adrian Lyne, he actually used emotional and manipulative tactics on Basinger during the shooting to get the performance he wanted out of her, where she was, at that point, a very kind of new actress. And then she criticized him quite harshly about it later on. And things like he wouldn't let, he wouldn't let Rourke or Basinger talk to each other off set, and they were kept isolated from each other. And Lyne would tell Basinger rumors. Like, can you believe that, working with somebody? It's hard enough to do a movie, but he'd tell rumors to make her like or dislike him, so she'd carry that attitude into the scene. And he'd also give Rourke performance notes, but wouldn't give any to Basinger. So it was pretty evil. So, and he'd do all this stuff just basically, and shot this basically in sequence so that her actual emotional breakdown over time would effectively be translated to screen. So it's pretty psychologically damaging, and it's really scary where he, as a director who should have used communication as a tool all the way through, didn't in terms of that. And on screen, that's revealed too. Because communication, I think that's one huge thing that we can all have learned from the BDSM community.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, in terms of just for safety and things like that. Like, obviously, there's the general advice, like, for, say, for sex, that they require a lot of safety precautions than your typical vanilla sex, without the BDSM elements. And there's things like pre-play negotiations, which are really commonplace. And I think that's really important, whether or not it be BDSM, whether or not you're going to be tying somebody up, whether it's spanking, whether you're having a threesome, whatever it is, it's really, really, really super important to talk about this stuff, especially if partners don't know each other very well. These negotiations concern the interest, and this is really key, that it's going to concern the interest and the fantasies of each partner and establish a framework. I think that's really, really key. And sometimes this is a really unique selling proposition of the BDSM sessions. And it's really cool because it's really commonplace there. And that's something that should be in every relationship, no matter how casual or how intense.
Well, if there was some kind of open contract negotiation that would go on for relationships, we would probably all be doing really well.
Well, I think perhaps we should.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Things can be learned. Things can be learned from the BDSM community for sure.
I actually want to add an addition on that. You know how a few, several shows ago, probably about 6 months ago, we talked about renegotiating relationships every 3 months. I've actually thought about that. If you actually celebrate your relationship every month, where you go in, yep, instead of every year having your anniversary,
yep,
it gives you an opportunity to not take that person for granted. So Valentine's Day should be at least 12 times a year, preferably 365 days a year. But I think it's really important. And by celebrating that, it also opens up things for discussion. So
right.
I think that's really, really key. I just, yes, wanted to add that in there before we got into practical safety, which is an obvious given with both BDSM and more in particular than other things. But
during bondage sessions, especially, mm-hmm, because you're going to be tying people up, and I think there's potentially damage to nerves or blood vessels. And scar development, I mean, if you're using crops, whips, floggers, etc., there's a lot of fine motor skills that might be triggered or, I mean, you know, bothered by tying people's arms and legs up. Some anatomical knowledge might make a difference between a very satisfying session for the bottom and a highly unpleasant experience, or possibly including severe physical harm. So I think there's some practical safety aspects, and to make sure that you do your research on that. And of course, there's lots of toys, BDSM kind of toys, and physical and psychological control techniques, which often require a far-reaching knowledge of details related to the intent requirements of these of the individual session, such as anatomy, physics, and psychology, of course. But also, just do your research.
Research is so important in terms of things like that. Aftercare, and hopefully if you set things up with safe words and things like that beforehand, where you, if you establish the safe words, you can place stop, because sometimes there are freakouts and it's kind of scary in terms of that. And what you want to do is just plan in advance as much as you can in order to avoid it. There's such losses of emotional balance sometimes due to sensory or emotional overload, and I think that's probably the most common S&M relationship.
Emergency, it's, you mean?
Emergency, thank you. I think it's really, really, really important to follow people's relationships and reactions really empathetically and continue or to stop really accordingly, which, again, that's why safe words are very, very important to have in there. I think it's really key.
So aftercare, respecting what your partner wants, mm, is really critical to prevent any kind of meltdowns as well,
mm-hmm,
or issues. And this continues with things like threesomes as well. But in this context of the sexual practice of BDSM, aftercare specifically is the process of attending to a submissive after intense activities of a physical or a psychological nature related to the BDSM activity. So aftercare goes above and beyond any possible necessity to treat or to clean wounds, contusions, abrasions, punctures, lacerations from blood play or other BDSM practices, etc. But aftercare goes more into the emotional support, and you
it
know,
it can be really exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it can deplete the submissive's internal resources, which is why it's really, really important that the submissive requires emotional support, comfort, things like reassurances, and sometimes physical tenderness. But as well as that, they may experience anything from exhilaration to feeling traumatization. So it's really important to really clue in and really tune into what they're feeling. And it may also include a review or a debriefing of all the activities from the experience from both the dominant and as well as the submissive. Mm-hmm. And it does depend on the relationship and things, and each time is unique. So how soon this occurs after a so-called session, it really varies.
Yeah, sometimes the submissive is going to need some time to process mm-hmm. and just wants to be left alone or, or they may want to
be held.
Rest, or they might want to be held. It could, you know, the desire to be left alone can stem from just needing to rest, but it could also result from them no longer feeling safe in the current environment or the situation, and they just want to be left alone, they want to leave or whatever. So, again, whole host of things that can come up and a complex arena to play in. Make sure you do your research about it. Make sure you talk to people who have been practicing it for a while to get some of their input as well. And don't go about it lightly. So this is maybe a more intense experience that we're talking about, mm-hmm. But our more fun part of the first half of the show where we're talking about sort of the lighter, more playful aspects of erotic acts that have a bondage discipline, submission, dominance kind of flavor to them. It is also good to talk after, of course, and have communication before, do the thing, talk after, the aftercare, etc. But you may not have to do the extent of research that might have to go into, say, a full bondage beating with things and other sorts of stuff.
Well, like or blood play.
Or blood play, yeah.
But even with regular relationships, there's so many people out there who have dealt with that physical sexual violence like we talked about last week. So even just having standard vanilla missionary sex, which I do love personally, with that, sometimes that triggers some people where your partner may roll up into a little ball afterwards and can't bear to be touched, where it's really important to talk about that afterwards, and they may need to talk to somebody who's professional, where you may not be there, you know, even though you do communicate and you're there for them, they may need somebody who's trained in terms of how to help.
Right.
Just so that way they can heal and have a happy, healthy sex life. So the best thing you can be is empathetic, as we were mentioning earlier.
Excellent, yes.
That's very important. One of the things, I know we touched on toys earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some toys, even though you had one of the really, really, really neat tip earlier when we were chatting over dinner about how to pick up a vibrator when you're at the shop. Because I'm pretty much, anybody who listens to the show knows that I'm pretty much a virgin when it comes to vibrators and stuff like that. But I love the fact you gave that tip. It was really fascinating because I always find them painful.
I have to keep my mouth shut. You're very sensitive, that's for sure. And some women are, some men are as well. And so you do have to be careful. If you want to test a vibration and make sure it's not too strong, is to touch it to the tip of your nose. And if your nose can't handle it, your clitoris and your scrotum are certainly not going to be able to handle it. So that's a good, safe and easy way to test the vibration strength.
Definitely. The other thing that I was going to mention in terms of toys is there's some things like a cat of nines, for example, which may be used a lot of times most predominantly in BDSM play, but that can be used giving somebody a really gentle massage. I've actually fallen asleep when a friend of mine when we went to check out Sin City, she actually really gently...
You fell asleep at Sin City?
I did, actually, because I was... Well, no comment, but... yeah, but she basically was took the cat of nines and was actually just running it really gently because it's leather, right, against my back. It actually knocked me out and I fell asleep. So she wasn't using pressure. So it doesn't necessarily have to be painful or anything. You can use some of those toys to play where it doesn't necessarily need to be painful.
To invoke pain.
Yes.
Right.
And you can use that in your regular life where you could be, say, I don't know, going to like somewhere like Lush and getting a massage bar and giving your partner a really romantic massage for Valentine's Day where you might use that cat of nines just to get a little bit more sensation, a little bit of silk maybe, like what you may use to blindfold them later and do a lap dance where once you get naked, you blindfold them and let them run their hands all over your body.
Sounds really good. We've got some great ideas we've shared. And I love it.
Thank you, baby.
Thanks, honey.
I keep hearing
electronic things going off in the room here.
Must be the vibrator that got left here last week.
I think hosting a toy party, if it's somebody who's well-informed and isn't going to be adding more misinformation to your you know, already confused out there. Too much information, sex ed that goes on. Laska.
Laska from Sex Ed with a Twist.
From Sex Ed with a Twist. They do good toy parties. Very solid. I recommend them. So, yeah, so they're a good choice. And, you know, I think some...
You can also, I just wanted to add, sorry, love, I know I interrupted you. For somewhere like Art of Loving, you can actually book a toy party at the store.
Okay.
So that's always a possibility, too, if you're comfortable with
Great.
That.
Great, thanks.
Sorry, darling, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fabs. So, you know, I think, and I, just sort of the end of the show here, I want to talk briefly about threesomes, because a lot of times people that are trying to spice up their sex life in the name of Valentine's Day or anything else, they often think, oh, you know, another lover. That's the answer, right? So there, that is a possibility. Again, we've done shows on this before, so we're going to be very brief. But I think, Caroline, you had some good ideas here. Start by watching a dance or at a strip club or go for a private lap dance and see how you both feel about that first. That's a nice, safe, hot, erotic way to kind of negotiate how things are going to be going between.
Because if you're not comfortable there, you're not going to be comfortable right. with another person kissing your person.
Or penetrating each other.
Yes.
Anyway, so again, communication is key for sure. And deciding how far is too far. Now, this was some of Caroline's tips. I just ran over them quickly. And then I thought, you know, we always have the female perspective. So I just thought, did a quick little search online and I found the best site for some male version of the rules from askmen.com. So I'm just going to quickly review them. I thought they were quite funny. So threesome rule number one, establish the rules like we had talked about. You must respect her limits. If you're going to have sex with two women and all three of you have your own rules and limits, make sure that you all know what they are. Because the relationship with your woman is going to be affected, you need to be clear on what she's comfortable with. Very important. So she may tell you she's uncomfortable with the idea of you penetrating another woman or even pleasing another woman orally, and you must respect her limits because you're going to just have a dire situation on your hand and it will be over. Your relationship will be suffering. So really important that you try to think not just about yourself. So threesome rule number two, be as giving as you can. Although you guys may be hoping that the two women are going to give you 100% of their attention, the truth is that they're there to please each other just as much as they're there to please you. And you may end up feeling ignored, and you should do your best to get over it. The best way to approach the situation and an important threesome rule to follow is to forget your feelings for a moment and try to be as generous with your hands and your mouth as you can. This is coming from a man. This is men.com. Ask men. Pleasure in one-on-one sex goes back and forth, but in a threesome, it's more of a cycle. And this is a very good point. Be patient. It moves from person to person. So focus on turning both women on, and the attention is going to come back to you. Mm. And it's very true. It does go in a triangular fashion in a threesome. So keep your hands moving and know when to penetrate or not penetrate are important threesome rules. So askmen.com says threesome rule number three.
You want to keep yourself busy.
Keep yourself busy. Like that.
Well, I think it's important because you're going to find both women are busy pleasuring each other and you're going to have nothing to do. So you got to keep yourself busy. So you got to take matters in your own hands and I'm sure you'll find something to do. You can start with the breasts, the vaginas, plural. Thighs of one or both women, kiss their backs or necks. Definitely give oral sex to one if she's in a position that allows you to. And believe me, this will redirect the attention towards you in pretty fast, I think. Don't you think?
Uh-huh.
And if you decide just to pleasure yourself for a little while, don't feel bad. The action will come back to you soon enough.
Right. So, right. Threesome rule number four, very important.
You really want to be careful with penetration.
Yes.
Penetration is what novelist Tom Robbins calls that old showstopper.
I love that book.
It automatically forms, I haven't read it.
That book is so funny.
It automatically forms a serious bond between you and one woman, leaving the other out. For this reason, penetrate only when you're sure both women are comfortable with it. Your natural inclination may be to pay particular attention to the woman you're having sex with, but you mustn't focus on her entirely. It's about the three of you, so keep that ideal close at hand. Kiss and touch the other woman. Look at her in the eye and talk to her if the mood is appropriate. And be aware that you may be overwhelmed with pleasure if you're thrusting into one woman, kissing and caressing another, meaning you may climax a lot faster than expected.
Yes.
So take it slow. And pace yourself. Just don't get so excited you keep track of all the women.
That you lose track of the women.
Yes, I guess so, unless it's a porno where you've got like six of them or something like that. All three of you should be sexually satisfied, and even if you achieve climax first, you've got to do everything you can to bring both partners to orgasm.
Yes.
And the big one, of course, is to be safe.
I think threesome rule number five, any kind of sexual time rule, be safe. So condoms are a necessity, obviously, because semen, vaginal fluid, menstrual blood, everything like that transmits STIs. So make sure that you use one hand to pleasure one specific woman. This is in BDSM as well, if there's any of that going on. The other hand on the other woman, and make sure you keep it that way. You must never alternate and switch up fluids between the women, because they will definitely exchange STIs if there are any, and or for sure yeast infections, even if they don't have an STI. Often if you blend women's fluids, they'll give each other STIs. I mean, sorry, yeast infections.
Yeast infections. And also, be careful if you're going from anal to vaginal.
Of course, we don't want to do that. It's vaginal, honey.
Vaginal. I should know that by now.
If you're having intercourse with both women, make sure that you change condoms every time. So dental dams as well, of course, good for protection.
And lubrication. Wherever you put that on the woman's skin, it's good for a really good sensation.
And at the last tip, I wanted to say, and a threesome is not
a relationship.
So afterward, when you're lying around with both women in some kind of post-coital bliss or
he's
some kind
still
of...
still be awake?
Remember, it's not a relationship. And this means that the third person likely should not sleep over. I know it might sound a little bit cold, but... it may seem like a great idea in the moment, but prolonging a threesome is a recipe for total disaster. Now, this is from AskMen.com, and I have to agree. It's not a relationship, and please just kindly take the person home. If they'd like to have a shower first and get cleaned up, maybe have a drink after, whatever. If you have to go till 3 in the morning to do the aftercare, make sure that they get home. And, of course, be reassuring to your girlfriend or your wife. You've had fun. It's only pleasure and experimentation. She turns you on, et cetera, et cetera. Seeing her being pleasured by another woman highly aroused you. You enjoyed yourself, but there's no one for you but her, et cetera, et cetera. And seriously, you do this kind of emotional care after, and you'll definitely have it be a beautiful, pleasant experience. Now, they may still not want to do it ever again. But as much as you put the best foot forward and do all these rules and follow everything, and they may never want to have another one. But just make sure that there's not a lot of regrets.
Definitely.
Or destruction of your relationship over your pleasure seeking.
I agree.
Yeah.
And on that note, I do want to point out that it's really important to actually focus, and I want to reiterate this, focus on the relationship that you have with your partner first.
Yep.
What I mean by that is, if something's missing, you've got bed death, don't just jump, hey, we should have a threesome. Make sure you've got a solid, healthy relationship first before you add other things to the mix. It's really, 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 really important.
And use BDSM practices and... talk about things.
Yes.
Negotiate it. Try switching up your gender roles. Maybe.
Aftercare.
Yeah. Do you want to take this caller with the last minute we have here?
Sure, if it's a quick call.
Okay. Do you want to just pick it up, honey?
Sure.
Put the phone on thing.
Oh, Julia.
Just get it on. Turn it up. You're on the air.
Hello, is Hansa.
Oh, Hans von Klaus
is about to be on air, but you are on air right now.
Okay, well, I was trying to get all that Hans, but that's okay. I'll catch him when I get there.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. No aren't problem. We glad we took that call?
Okay.
This is what happens when you have your own engineers in this land. It's okay. We had a call before, and we were like, oh, we just kind of didn't, we had no flow in the conversation to be able to take the call. So this time I thought we had a flow to be able to take the call. But anyway.
I agree.
Again, this is why we don't like to answer them in the middle of the show. And when we have a break, we always like to do it, don't we?
Exactly. At the break time. Yep. So it doesn't interrupt the flow. I agree with you.
Well, anyway.
The other thing, too, in terms of threesomes, isn't it weird that, AskMen.com where you got this? This is great stuff. It doesn't mention anything about two guys and a girl.
Well, this particular one that I pulled out was only for the one that the men on this particular site wanted to focus on, which was two women and a man.
Which is probably the most standard.
Yes, so we've talked about this in the past. It's definitely the biggest, the most common fantasy for men is to have a threesome with two women. Yes. So just a little wrap-up on the Valentine's BDSM. As far as I'm concerned, threesomes are sadistic and masochistic. And so is being single on Valentine's Day.
Definitely.
So, you know, just be gentle with people out there that are maybe not so interested in doing these kind of alternative sexualities. And or if you have a single friend, all of you get together and go for dinner and, I don't know, get a sex toy party and get some good masturbation techniques going on.
Exactly.
For
spoil yourself. Go and find something hot to masturbate to. And go have a book yourself in for a massage. Have some fun.
Some touch.
And if get you're in touched. A relationship and you're bitter because of the fact you're not getting anything that you want, get them to listen
blindfold
to the show.
Blindfold them and tie them up.
Yes, and force them. them. Although you do realize that could be abuse.
Yes. There's a fine line.
There's
and what's the difference,
line.
Caroline?
Consent.
Thank you. Very
so
well.
Don't
I'm glad
them.
You're listening. Consent. I'm glad you're all listening. Okay, well, we do appreciate you tuning in tonight. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We have another juicy, juicy show in store for you next week, and I'm not going to tell you about it because Caroline, with her newest fandangles of
Twitter
and her media, social media that she's all hooked up into. I'm sure you can find out well before the show next week what it's about. What do we want to do about this Valentine's sucking for the single person? We might have to talk about that next week.
Well, Valentine's sucking for the single person is basically be grateful you're not in a deadbed relationship.
Yes, a bed death relationship, right?
I'm thinking of bed bugs.
Which we do have a problem with in Vancouver. Anyway, all right, so that's another show for another topic. If you have any recommendations you'd like to hear or questions about anything to do with sexuality or relationships, do call us, email us, sorry, don't call us, email us at juiceboxradio.com. Coming up next, Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. Marion is a very sexy man to be miserable with. Now, I think he had a birthday last week,
yes.
And so he's still kind of getting, maybe it was Monday, so he's still getting used to it. Are you still hungover?
I don't get hungover.
He doesn't get hungover because he never drinks more than one beer at a
That's
time.
Okay, neither do I. I just
right
go
beer.
Red.
I drink the right amount of the right beer.
He drinks the right amount of the right beer and doesn't get hungover. But anyway, it was Monday, so happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
I should have played Joe Cocker at the end with the cock. Maybe next time.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.